Bezus Hashem Yisbarech. Today's daf is Yud Dalid in Maseches Bava Kamma. It's the 1,405th daf in Shas. I'm learning this with you on Isru Chag Shavuos for those in Chutz Laretz. Baruch Hashem, I'm zochet to learn this with you on a hot day from Beit Shemesh. The American boys in the Tivarye as well as in the Gris Kolel are heading back already to the States after Shavuos. Take good care of them. And therefore, I'm able to learn this with you from Beit Shemesh. In fact, I'm going to have to interrupt our learning. It won't be a break for you because you just turn off the recorder. But my Talmidim are coming over to say goodbye before they return. Tonight's a Siyum in Yeshiva. And Bezer Hashem, I'm looking forward. They're making a Siyum on Maseches Makos that they did in Summer Zman. I'm looking forward that one day us joining together on a Siyum, not only on Maseches Bava Kamma and Makos, but Bezer Hashem together for all of Shas. Our Daf Yudal is going to pick up with the Mishnah. Let's turn to that Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Beis. The Mishnah on Tes Amud Beis is going to be part of our analysis today. When the Mishnah says, V'rishus ha-nizik v'hamazik, the Mishnah tells us that your chayiv in all cases, chutz m'rishus ha-miyuchedes l'mazik, v'rishus ha-nizik v'hamazik. So that statement, v'rishus ha-nizik v'hamazik, is vague. And on yesterday's daf, on Yud Gimel on the Beis, the Gemara had a machlokas between Rav Chizna and Rav Elazar how to explain it. Then the Mishnah concludes with this very broad statement that the beginning of today's daf is going to want to analyze, and that is Kishehizik Chava Mazik L'Shalim Tashlumei Nezek B'Meitav Ha'aretz. What's the expression Kishehizik Chava Mazik coming to add? And the Gemara is going to talk about the halachos of Shomrim. If what happens in an instance that one is watching the animal of Reuven, and then either your animal damages Reuven, or Reuven damages your animal. Then we're going to have a klal from a Tosefta, from Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that's going to echo some of the klalim that we had in our Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to compare those four klalos of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, close, of course, with a kaf, nachas v'le with a kuf, those four rules, and compare them to some of the shitos in our Mishnah, which will get us to the halachos of keren. In a case where a shor gores in the reshus of the nizik, whether we pay chatzi nizik or not, and then we will come back to the subject of assessing value of land for hezek. In the Mishnah on the top of Yudalan and Mabez, with Shum Kesef, Shavu Kesef, Mifnei Bezdin. And that's going to get us back to those tough sugyas of Idias and Ziboris, Yashiv L'Rabbo, Shavu Kesef, Ke Kesef, as we had discussed earlier on Daf Ches and Daf Tes. So let's pick up seven lines from the bottom, Yud Gimel and Mabez, a new topic, or another way of presenting it is four lines into the Y. First word on the line, Amar Ma. Amar Mar, Kishizik Chava Mazik, Lahavi Shomer Chinam, Vahashoel, Nosei Sachar, Vahasocher. What was our Mishnah coming to add on Tesam Abeis that we saw in our introduction? Kishizik Chava Mazik, L'Shalim. What's the Mishnah coming to emphasize when it says, and when there is damage, Chava Mazik, L'Shalim? Obviously, everything we've been discussing up until now has been the nature of the Chiyuv of a Mazik to pay the Nizik. Hechidami, says the Gemara. So it's coming to include Shomachinam Shol Nosei Sachar V'Asocher. Those are categories that we should all be familiar with. Shomachinam being a Shomer that is watching for free without getting paid. Shoel is someone who borrows. Nosei Sachar is someone who's receiving payment to watch. V'Asocher is someone who rents. Says the Gemara, Hechidami, what exactly was that case that you're saying that we're coming to include? Ilema Da'azke Torah D'mashal U'Tura D'Shol. We're talking about a case where the ox of the lender borrowed, gored the ox of the Shol. Leimolei, let him say to him, that is, let the lender say to the borrower, Ilu Azik Ba'alma, if my animal had gone to damage in general, it's your responsibility and you would have to pay. now that it damaged your animal, ba'ina l'shlume, I should pay? In other words, the whole responsibility on the shomer is to watch and guard, and the shoel as well, that the animal is not going to damage. So if the borrowed animal damages another animal, if that happens to be the animal of the borrower, why should the lender have to pay? Ella says, Gemara, four lines from the bottom, the aski tura de shoel, the tura de mashil. What happened was the inverse, that the borrower, so Reuven lends to Shimon, Shimon's animal damaged, latura de mashil, damaged the ox that had been borrowed. Lemole. So then in such a case also, let the lender say that you should be chayiv to me differently than the rules of the Arba Avos Nezikin. And that can't be what our Mishnah is talking about, because in general in Hilchos Shomrim, like we're going to learn in the next Masechta in Bava Metzia, the halacha is that if you allow the animal, when you borrowed it, to be damaged, you have to pay back the whole value. In Maseches Bava Kama, if your animal was a tam, then you only pay half nezek. So that wouldn't be an appropriate psak that our Mishnah is talking about, because he could say, the lender could say, ilu itazik ba'alma me'alma, if my animal had been killed by a flood, bas l'shlume kule turay. If the flood was anticipated, then you should have taken the animal to higher ground, and you would have to pay everything. Hashta da'atzke tur didach. Now that your animal, instead of a flood, but your other ox went and gored mine, palga niskuhu demishalimisli, are you going to pay chatzi nezek? Why should you pay me chatzi nezek? In general, you're chayim nezek shalim on all of this. Says the Gemara, la'aylam da'atzke tur demashal tur da'shoa. Here we're talking about a case where the animal of the lender, the borrowed animal, gored the animal of the shoel. Ah, so why in the world would we say that the mazik should pay? At the end of the day, the nizik, who was the shoel, had accepted full responsibility on the animal. And here we're talking about Shekibel of Shmiras Gufay, Shekibel of Shmiras Nizkov, that the shoel had only expressly stated that he was going to make sure that the animal is going to be guarded, that it won't be damaged, but he didn't accept responsibility to guard the animal from damaging. And therefore, the responsibility was still on the mashal to guard the animal. And that's why, if the animal does damage the animal of the another animal of the shoel, the mashal is going to be chayiv. Continues the Gemara in the top wide line. If that's the pshat on the top line on Yudalit Amid Aleph, Iachi Ema Seifa. What are we going to deal with in the Seifa? Nifritza Balayla, because we have in the Brisa that we had mentioned at the beginning of today's daf. Part of it, we also had on yesterday's daf, three lines into the wide. The Braisa had gone on the bottom of Yud Gimel and Bebeis, the Braisa had gone on and said, Nifritza Balayla, Oshe Partsua Listen, V'yatsa V'zika Potter. In a case of where there is a Shomer, and the animal breaks free in a way that the Shomer isn't responsible to guard, and the animal goes out and damages, then the shomer is potter. Habayom chayiv. Mashma, that during the day he'd be chayiv. But now we're saying that the Brisa is talking about a very particular case where he was mekabel shmiras gufov, lo kibel of shmiras nizakov. He was never mekabel shmiras nizikin. If you're going to read that way, then the rest of the Brisa doesn't make sense, because it's mashma if it goes out and damages during the day, he's going to be chayiv. And says the Gemara, hachi kamar, this is what we're talking about. In kibel of shmiras nizakov, chayiv. If he's mekabel shmiras nizakov, you have to add another caveat into the Brisa, that the Brisa changes. It develops. Originally, we're talking about a case where he's mekabel shmiras gufo, not shmiras nizakov, and then the Brisa develops when he's mekabel of shmiras nizakov, then he's chayiv, nifritza balayla oshet partsu, listen yatsav izika potur, and the exception would be, even if he's mekabel shmiras nizakov, is if it's nifritza balayla or partsua listen. Asks the Gemara, Eini, Is this really so? This is not so. Now this question is going back onto yesterday's daf. On yesterday's daf, we have the shita of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that when the Mishnah says that one is exempt for hezek that took place berishus hanizik vehamazik, that means to tell us that one is potter on shein and regel in a case of a chotzer hashotfin. Asks the Gemara, six lines on the top of your Dalet Amud Aleph, Eini, is that correct? V'altani Rav Yosef Chotzer Hashutvin V'apundik Chayov B'en Al Shein V'Regel. We learned that the halacha is that one is Chayiv for Shein V'Regel. Question mark. Tiyufta de Rabbi Eliezer. That will be a question. Amalecha Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer respond. V'tizbra Masnisa Milo Pli. Is it so clear that everybody agrees as far as that position that one is Chayiv on Shutvin, Chotzer Shutvin for Shein V'Regel? V'atanya, didn't we learn in Braisa? Arba Klolos, how you Rabbi Shimon Elazar, I remember Nizakin. We had four rules from Shimon Elazar when it comes to Nizakin. They are Kosher Rishus Lenizik V'lo Lemazik. If there's Rishus only for the Nizik and not for the Mazik, Chayiv B'Kol. Then in such a case, the Mazik is Chayiv on everything. That's number one. The Mazik V'lo Lenizik. If there's Rishus only for the Mazik and not for the Nizik, so then Potter Mikol. Then because the Mazik had Rishus and the Nizik didn't have Rishus, then the Mazik's always going to be Potter. Lezeh ulezeh. Rule number three. Kegon Chatzar HaShutvin V'Abika. When it comes to Chatzar HaShutvin, Potter Bo'al HaShein V'Al HaRegel. One is exempt for Shein V'Regel. So we see, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's rule, that one is exempt, like Rabbi Elazar had suggested. Also, al anegicha, val anegifa, val neshicha, val rebitza, val beita. We've learned this in the past. Gicha is goring, negifa is when the animal pushes, and neshicha is when the animal bites, rebitza is when jumps on top, beita is when it kicks. Tam mishalem chatzi nezek, mud mishalem nezek shalem. In contrast to Shein V'Regel, there is a chiyuv in Chatzar HaShutvim when it comes to Karen. So what we do have from Shimon Elazar is clearly the position that Shein V'Regel is different than Karen. And in Chatzar HaShutvim, even though Karen you'd be chayiv, Shein V'Regel would be potter. Rashi explains in Dibur HaMascha al Shein V'Regel that their reason that Karen's going to be different than Shein V'Regel is because the Torah says Uvier b'stei acher, that the only time the mazik is chayiv if it's a mershus that's miyuchad lenizik. However, there is no gzeres hakasuv in regards to Karen like that, and therefore one would be chayiv. What if both of them don't have rishus to be there? That's the fourth category of Shimon ben Elazar. Lo lezev lo lezev, both of them don't have rishus. Kegon chotzer sheina shel shneim, doesn't belong to both of them. Chayiv bo al hashein v'al regel, v'al negich v'al shich v'al negif v'al ritz v'al be'ita, tam mishalim chatzi nezek, muad mishalim nezek shalem. So the last of the cases, you're even chayiv and shein regel because it's v'er b'stei acher, because both of them don't have rishus to be there. Katani mias chutzar shutvin vavika potter bala shein vala regel. We learned that shein regel is potter by chutzar shutvin, bringing out Rebbe Elazar's point. However, the Gemara says kasha adadi. There are two brises that seem to contradict each other. That at the end of the day, even though we've vindicated Rebbe Elazar, but now we have one brise that says like Rebbe Elazar that you are potter, and yet earlier we quoted Braisa that Rav Yosef had quoted that says you're chayiv. Says the Gemara, ki tanya ahi b'chotzer miyuchedes laze ulaze bein leperos bein leshvarim. The Braisa that said you're potter is talking about a chotzer that's miyuchad for both the mazik and the nizik, both for fruits as well as for oxen. Either of Yosef or Yosef's case, it's chayiv b'chotzer miyuchedes leperos. Their oxen are not supposed to walk there. So then, the halacha is going to be mechayiv you. Delegabe shein, havi lechatzer hanizik. And in regards to shein, since the shor is not supposed to be there, it's like the chatzer of the nizik. Dekinami diktari hacha dumya de pundik.
In one case, it says it's like a punduk. A punduk is an area where merchants bring their merchandise, and it's not the derech to bring animals into that area. And that's the case you're going to be chayiv. Uktani asam dumi the bika. And the case that said your potter says like a bika, a valley where people bring their oxen. Maskefla Rabbi Zeira, the Gemara asks on this teretz. Kiva demyuchedes leperos, if it's already designated for fruits, haba'ina uvier b'steacher v'leka. The halacha is that you need to be your chayiv when your shor goes into another field where the mazik is not invited. And here, the mazik and the nizik could put their fruits down. It's considered steacher because the ox is not wanted. And therefore it's steacher, even though the mazik could also put down his fruits. If that would be so, the way we're explaining, that the brises don't contradict each other, so then it could very well be that Rav Yosef and Rav Elazar don't argue about chotzer hashutfin for shein v'regel. And the one case, one is chayiv. Rav Yosef says you're chayiv. That's talking about an instance where shvarim are not invited. And Rav Elazar says you're potter when shvarim are invited. Amalei, in. You're right. You could say that they're not arguing. V'im tam tzalomar pligi bikusha de Rabbi Zeira upiruka de Abaye pligi. They are arguing whether you could give the terutzim that we just gave. In other words, the terutzim we gave, that since it's not miuchedus shvarim, it's called steacher, that was the terutz of Abaye. Rav Zeira had asked the question, clearly did not assume like Abaye, so maybe Rav Yosef, at the end of the day, does not make the split like we had said, because at the end of the day, if it's miuchedus leperos, it's no longer considered vir b'steacher, and therefore he has to disagree with everything that Rabbi Lazar had said. We now go on to analyze the Braisa. About 12 lines from the bottom, first where in line is Gufa. Gufa, Arba Klolos HaYerub Shimon Elazar Aymer. We had four different beautiful Klolim. Let us review those four Klolim. Number one, if there is Rishus L'Nizik V'lo L'Mazik, then the Mazik is always Chayiv. If there is Rishus for the Mazik and not for the Nizik, the Mazik is always Potter. If both of them have Rishus, then one is Potter on Shein Regel and Chayiv in Karen. If both of them don't have Rishus, then you're Chayiv on Shein Regel as well as Karen. Those are our four Klolim. Arba Klolos HaYerub Shimon Elazar Aymer B'Nizakin Kol Shu Rishus L'Nizik V'Lo L'Mazik Chayiv B'Kol. You're Chayiv in all, in everything. The Gemara analyzes Al HaKol Lo K'tani. It doesn't say that you're Chayiv in every instances. It just says that you're chayiv the entire nezik. In other words, that there is going to be an exception, a case of hezek, that you're not going to be chayiv for. What's going to be that case? Mani, what's that case? Rebbe Tarfin. He's following the shita of Rebbe Tarfin. We're going to have Rebbe Tarfin tomorrow and the day after. The Omar Mishuna Karen Bechotzer Hanizik, Nezik Shalem Mishalem. Rebbe Tarfin says that even though Karen generally is chatzi nezek like tam, but the omar mishuna keren, that's an expression Chazal use, keren is mishuna, is not the normal way for an animal to act. When a person has an animal that damages through keren, now normally it's chatzi nezek. However, b'chotzer nizek, if it's done in the chotzer nizek, nezek shalei mishalim, then he pays nezek shalem. So then that would work very well with the lashon of Chayiv Bikol, that he's Chayiv on the entire Tashlumin, Bikulei Nezek, in contrast to other cases where it's Berushus HaRabim, where it's only Chetzi Nezek. So that would work well according to Rabbi Tarfin. Ema Seifa, but how are you going to explain then the Seifa? Loyla Zevela Dezek, in a case of where it belongs to neither, Kagon Chatzur Shen Shal Shneim, Chayiv Baal Shen Varega. You're Chayiv and Shen Varega. My Loyla Zevela Dezek, what does it mean? That it doesn't belong to both of them. That it doesn't belong to either of them. That belongs to a third party. In order to be chayiv, it needs to go into the sada of acher, the sada of the nizik. Ella pshita lo lezeh v'lo lezeh el dechat. But rather it means that it belongs to one of them. In other words, the nizik. Uktani, and when it took place in nizik, we learned seifa tam mishan chatzin nizik, mu mishan nizik shalim. So that, asal the Rabbanan. That's following the Rabbanan, says the Gemara, six lines from the bottom. Da'amri mishunah kar mechatzin nizik chatzin nizik hu de mishalim. So then that lines up with the Rabbanan, who disagrees with Rabbi Tarfon, who says, even berishus hanizik ta of Karen pays chatzin nezek. So then what emerges will be Reisha Rebbe Tarfon, the Seifa Rabbanan. The Reisha that we just got through saying is working according to Rebbe Tarfon when we learn the expression Chayiv Bikol, which means Chayiv Bikuli Nezek. And the Seifa, which clearly says that you pay chatzin nezek, Birshus HaNezek, is following the Rabbanan, says the Gemara, in. Yes, that's true. Da'amar Le'er Shmuel, Da'amalei Shmuel, the Rav Yehuda, Shinin, a sharp one. Shvok masnisen v'sa'a basroi. Leave alone the difficult terutzim that you wanted to give in the Mishnah, but seem to be a contradiction. You need to say, Reisha Rebbe Tarfon, v'seifa Rabbanan. You need to say that Reisha is following Rebbe Tarfon, v'seifa Rabbanan, as we had said before. Now the Gemara goes back to the previous stira that we had discussed, and attempts another answer. So you put a big period before Ravina. Ravina mishmei derav amar kula Rebbe Tarfonhi. Ravina's approach is to say, we could read the entire brisa of Shimon ben Elazar consistent with Rebbe Tarfon. Aye, we had a question that the seifa, the last case, umay lo lezeh v'lo lezeh, that we said could only make sense according to the Rabbanan, because over there it says that if you have the shar go in and do damage in a rishus that's neither his nor his. Now, how do you explain neither his nor his? If you're going to say that neither his means that's no, not the nizik nor the maziks, so then in such a case, you have a problem uvir b'stei acher. It must be that it means lo lezeh v'lo lezeh. It means it doesn't belong to both of them, and it belongs to the nizik. Yet there it says that you pay chatzin nizik. Umay lo lezeh v'lo lezeh, lo lezeh v'lo lezeh l'peiros. It doesn't belong to both of them for peiros. Elo dechad, but it belongs to one of them when it comes to peiros. Lezeh u'lezeh l'shvarim. So the nizik had rights to put his peiros. The mazik and the nizik both have rights to bring their shor. Dilagabe shen, as far as halacha of shen is concerned, havele chotzer nizik. So then it's considered the chotzer of the nizik. And then Rebbe Tarfon is of the opinion that you say you pay nizik shalom. Legabe Karen, havele rishus harabin. But in regards to Karen, it's like a rishus harabin because it is the rishus of the mazik to be able to bring in his shor. And therefore he would say that you pay chetzi nizik. So everything works out, even according to Rabbi Tarfon. Says Gemara, Ihachi arba shloshahavi. If you're going to say this pshat, then there are three rules, not four rules. Rashi explains that the last klal is just repeating the previous klalim. Let's take a look at the last Rashi in our Amud. Gimel kloshavi, the high klal basra, this last rule, as we're explaining it now, shaymin le mikamoy, you could really have inferred it from the above rules. The given the gabe shein havi chotzer anizik, since vis-a-vis shein, it's considered the chotzer anizik, lomeli misne chayiv ala shein, hotan la reisha. The reisha already taught us that, kol shu rishus lanizik v'lo lamazik. If the mazik doesn't have rishus, so then he's going to be chayiv. Going to be chayiv v'kol. And as far as the rule, Karen b'chutzra hashutfin, hatani le'resha, that was the other case. Kigon chutzra hashutfin v'abika. So it's not four rules, it's three rules. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, shlosh kalalos, barba mekomos. Einachrami, it's three rules with four examples, with four instances, four places where you'll have the chiyuv. The Gemara Beis Hashem continues with a new Mishnah on top of Yudalad Amibes. Shum kesef, shvei kesef, bifnei bezdin, v'alpi eidin. When it comes to assessing land that is damaged,
So then it is done and assessing the value of land, or assessing Shvei Kesev in general. If a Mazik wants to pay the value in money, the value of money, but not in money, not with the currency of money, but with its equal value. So that's done b'fnei bezdin based on Eidim. Now the nature of these Eidim are that they have to be b'nei chorin and b'nei bris. Number one, they can't be avadim. Number two is they have to be Jewish. V'hanashim, and in regards to the halacha of nashim, how do women play into all these halachos? B'chlal anizik v'anizik v'amazik b'tashlumen. The Gemara on Tes Vav, tomorrow's daf, is going to give us a makar that there's no difference between men and women when it comes to hilchos nazikin. That has led someone to astutely point out that in many ways women should understand and learn the halachos of nazikin as much, if not more, than some halachos of orechayim. The halachos of lulav and esrog, well, women are not mechuyavos, but they really need to know the halachos of nazikin just like a man. Obviously, there are different mesoras of how to teach it, but it needs to be taught. Says the Gemara, Maishum kesef. What does it mean, the estimation of kesef? We haven't explained exactly what that's referring to. Amar Rav Yehuda, shum ze lo yehe ela bekesef. When we assess damage, Rashi explains, then it has to be done in monetary value. In other words, you don't say, well, it's this amount of fruits, this amount of fields, but rather it's in kesef. Tanina lo hadetan rabbanan. And this that we learned is a remez to a beferish ebraisa. Para shezika talis, vitalis shezika para. If you have a cow that damaged a garment, or somehow a garment damaged a cow, ein omrim teitse para vitalis uvitalis bepara. Well, you'll say, wait a second, just exchange the value. In other words, each one of them damaged each other, and then you'll say they cancel each other out. Elashamin asa bedamin. Each, the value needs to be estimated in money, and each one of them have to pay each other back. The way I just explained, the Gemara is closer to Rabbeinu Tam in Tosas Dibar Maskel Parah, with a few more complicated details that we haven't really touched on in simple pshat in the Gemara, so I'm going to leave it as such. Rashi learns a bigger chiddush in Dibar Maskel Ein Omrim Teitzei Parabitalis, that we would have a havamina if each one damages each other in an instance, even though it's clear that a para is worth more than a talis. Well, you say they cancel each other out, and you would take the para and give it to the bala talis who had his nezek, and you would take the talis and give it to the Baal HaPara for his nezek. Obviously, the Baal HaTalis would win out in such a case. So here, according to the Brice of the Chiddush, is that you don't just simply exchange one for the other. Now, the reason we would think that you exchange one for the other is we have a pasuk in the Torah that says that when the animal does damage, so then the mazik pays the nizik with the animal. We're going to have a discussion in the fourth parak exactly what that means. So that might be part of the Havamina. But the bottom line is that that's purely a Havamina. Whether you say you would assess the value based on assess the damage by paying through the value of the carcass and say half of the value of the animal, excuse me, not the carcass, but the actual value of the animal that's mazik. Rather, we do an entirely separate calculation outside of what the mazik was. What was the hefsid in the talis? We also learned in our Mishnah Shvei Kesef that you take the value of the hezik and you estimate it also in terms of Shvei Kesef. D'tana Rabban, Shvei Kesef melamed she'ein is bezdin is kaken el nechasim she'esh lan achrayis. The halacha is that bezdin could only collect from karka. Karka is something that you could sell with achrayas. Achrayas being that karka is something that Reuven could sell to Shimon, and Shimon would say, I'm buying it from you on the condition that if anybody comes to collect this karka because you owe this karka to them, that you'll pay me back with something else. So that's how hezek is generally paid. However,
Avalim kodem nizik v'tafas metalton. But the nizik grabs metalton, bezdin govin lo mehen. Then in such a case, that's sanctioned from bezdin, and that's what the halacha says when we say shvei kesef, that if he was toface, so then in such a case, that could be halachically valid as well. That's one explanation. Amar mar mar taught shvei kesef melamid she'ein beznikakin ela l'nechasim she'yesh lehen achrayis. That it's telling us not the halach of tfisa, but the idea that bezin could only collect from karka. Says the gemara, my mashma. Where did you hear that in the lashon of the mishnah? Amar rabba bar ula davar hashove kol kesef. What's something that's worth kol kesef? My new davar. She'ein lo ana ona, something that's not subject to the halachos of ona. Now, karka is not subject to the rules of ona. Ona means that the Torah Kedosha tells us, as described in Gemara Nun Vav in Bava Metzia, that we're not allowed to charge more than a sixth value for a item that's metaltalin. But karka, you're allowed to, as well as Avadim and Shtaros. So that's what Dovr HaShavet Kol Kesef means. It's worth any Kesef, you could charge any price to it. And that's Dovr Shein Lo of Ona. Avadim and Shtaros Nami Ein Lohen Ona, the Gemara asks. But that doesn't only apply to Karka, that also applies to Avadim and Shtaros. But here, it would seem that we're only talking about Karka. So therefore, it can't be Dovr HaShavet Kol Kesef, you could charge any price for it. It's talking about items that could be acquired with kesef. In other words, your kona specifically with kesef and not meshicha. We learned a few months ago in the Daf Yom Maseches Kedushin that karka, according to most opinions in the Gemara, could be acquired with kesef, but metalton is only required acquired minatora with meshicha, and that is what we're referring to when we say Shvei Kesef, and that is that something that is nikne b'kesef. It's worth something. It has worth in Kesef because it could be acquired with Kesef. Says the Gemara, but you can't pay with Avadim v'shtaros. Avadim v'shtaros nami nikne b'kesef. Those also are acquired with Kesef. And yet, we're talking about here using a payment, and you don't use Avadim and Shtaros to pay for Hezek, because we learned that the only thing you collect from is nechasim sheish lenachrayis. So how do you fit that back into the words of shvei kesef? Elo amar Ravashi. So Ravashi says you're right. Shvei kesef velo kesef. When we say shvei kesef, we mean to say something that has a value of kesef and is not like kesef. Vahani kuli kesef ninu. And everything else is considered like kesef. The one thing that falls into the category of, according to Ravashi, it's quite a chidush, of shvei kesef, is not the way we use in Maseches Kedushin, that anything that has a worth in money, but rather is referring to specifically karka. Everything else is considered kesef, even avadim and shtaros. Why? Because all of those things are movable, and therefore they fall into the category of kesef. It's quite a chidush. We generally don't define shvei kesef this way, but that's how the Gemara suggests over here. Ramilei, Rav Yehuda bar China, l'Rav Huna b'Rei Yehoshua, tana shvei kesef. Why does it say shvei kesef? That's how hezek is assessed. Melamed she'ein bezin niskokin el nechasim she'esh l'machrayis. That bezin only collects from nechasim she'esh l'machrayis, which is karka, as we described above. That karka is one of those things that when it's sold, the buyer could say, I want you to take achrayis, that if any lien is going to be levied on my land because of the fact that you owe this land to somebody else, you'll pay me back, you take achrayis. That's what nechasim sheish l'machrayis means. So that is what we learned above, that we learned that karka is used as the medium of paying for hezek. Va'atanya, but then we learned yashiv, we've had this earlier on Zayin Amid Aleph, that we learned l'rabo shvei kesef, that the pasuk kesef yoshev gulaso tells us that when it comes to redeeming land, that you could use shvei kesef. And Chazal Darshan, that it also includes for other payments as well, that shvei kesef is kesef. Vafilu subin, and also subin. So then we learn that shvei kesef could be used. It says, Gmar achamai miskinam biyasmi, with yisomim, where you can't collect from
metaltalin, then we said that if the estate damaged, if Reuven is a Yasam and his father Yaakov had damaged, so then in such a case, he would not pay from metaltalin, because metaltalin diyasmi lo mishabdi, metaltalin Yasam are not subject to shibud, but rather they would pay from karka. Says the Gemara, Ibi asked me, if we're going to say that when we're talking about Shvei Kesef, we're talking about specifically karka for Yisomim, Ema Seifa. But then what are we going to do with the Seifa that we had read? Im kada nizik vitafis metaltan bezdin govan lo mehen. That the nizik is tofis metaltan, bezdin can be gova. But didn't we say, Ibi asked me, amai bezdin govan lo mehen, bezdin, how could bezdin be gova? Kida Amar Rava, so Rava Amar of Nachman answered that question, Shetafes Mechayim. The case is talking about where the Nizik was tofes from the Rishus of Yaakov, the father, when he was still alive. Hachanami here too, Shetafes Mechayim, that when the father is alive, then that Tfisa would be significant. This Be'ez Hashem concludes Daf Yudal. We'll pick up tomorrow a few lines from the bottom on Yudalit on the Be'ez. Today's Daf, we had discussed that the halacha is that a individual who borrows someone else's shor, and then his animal damages that shor, then of course he's going to be chayiv. If, however, he borrows the shor, and that shor goes and damages, he will normally be responsible, because his responsibility is to guard the animal, but in a case, the Gemara says on the top line, Yudalit Amenaf, that he's not Mekabel Shmiras Nizakov, then the halacha is that he's going to be potter. The Gemara then comes back to the topic of a chotzer of shutfim, and we have four klolim from Reb Shimon ben Elazar coming on the heels of the analysis of Reb Chisda and Reb Elazar of our Mishnah on Daf Tesem Beis. And the four klolim of Reb Shimon ben Elazar that appear on Yudalit Amen Aleph are Kol Shu Rishus Lenizik Velo Lemazik Ischai Bekol. The mazik v'lo l'nizik is potter me'akol. Lazeh u'lazeh is potter on shem v'regel, but he's chayiv on keren. Lo lazeh v'lo lazeh, one is going to be chayiv on shem v'regel, and chayiv for keren, chetzi nezik. Ultimately, the Gemara in reconciling these arba klolos suggests that it could be that the reisha is following Rabbi Tarfon when it says Chayiv Bekol, which is Mashma Yer Chayiv Nezik Shalim. The Gemara points out then, you might have to learn that the Reish is following Rabbi Tarfon, the Seifa seems to follow the Rabbana, because there you say Yer Chayiv Chetzi Nezik. Alternatively, Ravina suggests that the Seifa that says that we're talking about where it's a payment of Chetzi Nezik is a case of where Rabbi Tarfon, who normally says that even a Tam pays Nezek Shalem, in an instance of where the Shvarim were open to both of them, even though for Shane it was only open to one of them. Finally, we were introduced to these mysterious concepts of the Mishnah of Shum Kesef and Shvei Kesef. The Mishnah's explanation of Shum Kesef means that we always assess based on Kesef, and we don't just simply exchange the two Mazikim for each other. It's always an assessment of Kesef. Shvei Kesef, the Gemara suggests, is karka, that normally one collects when it comes to Hezek from karka. Ultimately, the Gemara questions that, but didn't we say Yashiv is l'rabos shvei kesef, and that you could always pay not only from karka, but even from subin, even from the worst type of grain? To which the Gemara says, you're right, that our Mishnah, when it says shvei kesef, that could be referring to Subin, and when the Brisa says Ein Beznes Kaken El Nachasim Sheisha Machrayis, that's talking about a case of Yisomen. The also Gemara also entertains the notion that Shvei Kesef could refer to Karka, particularly because everything else, even Avadim and Shtaros, resemble the process of Kesef, while Karka is different, because karka is not movable, and in that way it stands in deep contrast to kesef. This Be'ez HaShem concludes Daf Yudalid in Maseches Bava Kamma.